Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 100. Let's begin by turning to 1 Samuel 6, and I'll start reading in verse 15. And the Levites took down the ark of Jehovah and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone, and the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto Jehovah. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emerods which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto Jehovah: for Ashdod 1, for Gaza 1, for Eshkelon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1, and the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of Jehovah, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. And I'll stop reading there. Now, in our last study, we saw in Joshua chapter 24 how that Joshua, the son of Nun, who's a different Joshua than mentioned here, and also had used a great stone as a witness to the law of God. That is, the statement was made that the great stone had heard all the law of God. And so that stone identified with the law of God itself. And really, when we think about it, the Lord Jesus is called a cornerstone. He is called the rock, and he also is the Word, and the Word is the Bible, and the Bible is a law book. It is the law of God. So Christ completely identifies with the law of God, just as this great stone. And so we can see why the Ark of the Covenant is set upon the great stone of Abel in the field of Joshua, as Joshua is the name really for Jesus. Jesus is the name, the Greek equivalent of the name, the Hebrew name Joshua. And so the ark being set upon that stone is basically telling us how the Word of God is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, in essence, the Word of God, as we know, as the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. But what about Abel? Why does God make such a point of letting us know that it was a great stone of Abel where they set down the ark? Well, as we went there in our last study, we're going to return to 2 Samuel 20 and read three verses, beginning in verse 16. It says, "Then cried a wise woman out of the city, Hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, Art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, Hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, They were wont to speak in old time, saying, They shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter." And then she continues, but that's the significant statement. They were wont in old time to surely ask counsel at Abel, and that would end the matter. And notice also that we read she is a wise woman. And so Abel had a reputation for wisdom. They would speak, and that would settle the matter. And that also identifies with the Word of God, as Christ is wisdom. And so we would have to really come to the conclusion that the great stone of Abel identifies with the law of God, with the Word of God. And so it's fitting that the Ark of Jehovah is set down upon it in the field of Joshua, as Joshua typifies Christ. And And so all was well. Everything seemed fine. Actually, more than fine. Everything seemed very good. The men of Beth Shemesh so far had appeared to be wise themselves. They were rejoicing at the seeing of the ark. They made sure that Levites handled the ark in taking it off of the cart and placing it upon the great stone. They properly offered sacrifices, and even they offered up the two milch kine that had brought the ark out of the land of the Philistines and into Beth Shemesh. So we might get the idea, well, now the Israelites have learned their lesson. The grievous circumstances of losing the ark of God to their arch enemy, the Philistines, had taught them that now they had a renewed faithfulness. They had a renewed desire to serve God and to do things His way. We might think that. And yet if we did, we would be wrong. It wasn't very long at all. And we read in verses 19 and 20 of 1 Samuel 6, "And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of Jehovah. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men, and the people lamented, because Jehovah had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, Who is able to stand before this holy Jehovah God? And to whom shall he go up from us?" And I'll stop reading there. Now we discover that what had appeared to be a good situation was not as it appeared. The initial response of the men of Beth Shemesh was not really an accurate reflection of their spiritual condition. And Israel apparently had not learned its lesson after the ark's absence of 7 months. Upon its return, they actually now had done something unprecedented in its arrogance and in its brazenness to look into the ark of Jehovah. Now, a little later, we'll go to some scriptures that'll really show us just how wicked this was of an act to lift up the lid of the ark and to inspect its contents. Oh, that is one of the most horrible transgressions that we can imagine. And yet they seem to have done it with not too much forethought at all. They just went about doing it. And from what we can read, immediately there was a plague of some sort, and the Lord smote. He killed 50,070 men of Beth Shemesh. Now that number is not given by accident. It's not a coincidence. You know, we should always think that when we read anything in the Bible. Why did God say this? Why did these things happen in this place? Why were this number of people impacted by what happened? Why not 100,000? Why not 500,000 or a lesser number? Why this particular number? And yet when we take the number 50,000 and 70 and try to break it down, well, I tried. I didn't really come to any number of any significance. That is, it didn't break down very well into numbers that we could learn of their spiritual meaning. And so we almost think, well, here's a number. It just is a number God has given us. And perhaps we're not to look any deeper than that, or it has a spiritual significance we just don't understand at the moment. Yet this number is very significant, and it will help us to learn what is the spiritual dimension. What is the spiritual teaching of the ark coming out of the land of the Philistines and returning to Israel? We know that the 7 months typifies the great tribulation, and we might think, Well, as it comes out of the land of the Philistines and returns to Israel, that this is teaching us about those days after that tribulation. However, the number given us of 50,000 and 70 will actually help us to identify what is happening here with the death of these men of Beth Shemesh with the very end of the Great Tribulation. That would be May 21. That was the full 23rd year. And if you remember, May 21 and that full 23 years was also the 8400th day of the Great Tribulation period. And on that same day, Judgment Day began. They were happening simultaneously. The Great Tribulation came to an end, and that was the conclusion of God's judgment on the churches. And the transition was made, and the judgment began upon the whole world. And that all took place on the very same day. But let's turn back to 1 Samuel 4 and keep that number, 50,070, in mind. And let's go back to 1 Samuel 4 when the people of Israel first went to battle with the Philistines. And it says in verse 2, "And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men." Now there is the initial skirmish. That was the first battle. And as a result of this, the Israelites decided to send to Shiloh and to get the Ark of the Covenant and to bring it into their camp and actually bring it into the battle as they would go to battle once again with the Philistines. And then they did this, and there was a second battle. And we read in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 4, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen." Now, keep in mind, in verse 2, it said about 4,000, and here in verse 10, we get a definite number, 30,000 footmen. So we would say, if we put the two numbers together, about 34,000 Israelites were killed over the course of these two battles. And we do know that the Ark is taken from the second battle. And both of these battles are typifying the Great Tribulation as God is forsaking his people. He's giving them up and over into the hands of their enemies. That's why Israel lost. And also keep in mind, we do not read of any of the losses of the Philistines. The Lord only gives us the number of Israelites that were slain. And actually, that was the case in chapter 5 when the Ark was in the land of the Philistines and many of the Philistines died. We weren't given any numbers. We didn't read of any specific number of Philistines that were killed, just that many of them died, that were smitten with the emerods. And so we have those two numbers, which would total about 34,000. And then the next number we find is, again, of Israelites, the men of Beth Shemesh, when they had looked into the ark, 50,010. Now, if we add 50,070 to about 34,000, we come to 84,070 about. Now, 84,070 isn't the number that really catches our ear. 84,000 is, because the Great Tribulation was 8,400 days and several other numbers which identify with the period of the Great Tribulation have the number of 84 in it. And yet this goes 70 over, 84,070. Yet we suspect that God is giving us these numbers because he wants us to know that what is happening to the men of Beth Shemesh is really all a part of the judgment upon his people and the judgment spiritually upon the churches and congregations of our day. And don't worry about the number 70, because we actually can say, due to the first number of about 4,000, that about 84,000, even if God didn't use that word about, we could still say that. But especially since he did, we can say about 84,000 Israelites were killed when all told, all put together, from the initial battle to this final judgment of God. As the ark is returned to Israel, it comes continuing the judgment upon the people of Israel. But this would point to the completion of that judgment, just as the actual judgment, which began at the house of God, was 8,400 days in length. So this helps us a lot to understand the spiritual meaning of what's happening as the ark returns. But let's think about something else. Let me just read verse 19, or the first part of it again. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of Jehovah. And again, I mention how just desperately wicked an act that was. We don't quickly see how evil of a thing that was, because we don't have an ark of God in our day. We read about it in the Bible, but we don't have any kind of object like that in our modern world. God actually made a point of that. He doesn't want us to look to those kinds of objects. Just like the sacrifices and many other things in the Old Testament, they were things that pointed to gospel truths, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ came, these types and figures were no longer necessary. But still, it was an incredibly bold and spiritually dangerous thing that the men of Beth Shemesh did. Let's go to a few verses, beginning in Exodus 25 and verses 15 and 16. It says, "The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." So inside the ark was the testimony, and that would be the Ten Commandments, the two tables of stone that God wrote with his own finger and gave to Moses. That was in the ark. But also in Exodus 40, verses 20 and 21, let's go there, it says, "And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as Jehovah commanded Moses." So the ark was placed inside the veil of the testimony, or inside the Holy of Holies. It was a supremely holy thing to enter into the presence of the closed ark of the Lord. Actually, God laid out a law that only once in the year could anyone enter into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. It says in Leviticus 16, and I'll read the first couple of verses there, "And Jehovah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Jehovah and died. And Jehovah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." God here is giving instructions to Aaron, the high priest of Israel, that don't come in to the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, at all times, or you will die. If you come in just any old time, no, God specified, he spelled it out once in the year on the Day of Atonement. The priest was to enter into the Holy of Holies with incense, which would have caused a cloud of smoke to form, and it would have made things very difficult to see for the high priest. And he was to approach the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, and he had the sacrificial blood of the animal that had been slain on the Day of Atonement, and he was to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. That was the only time that the high priest was permitted inside the Holy of Holies. And then he was to leave and not return until the next year. So this is the tremendous degree of holiness that God has established in a figure, yes, but it still was to be followed, as it pointed to the tremendous holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God himself. God established this degree of holiness in order to teach particular aspects of his person and of his gospel. And yes, it was true that the Israelites had already done things contrary to this by taking the ark out of Shiloh, out of the tabernacle there, and into the battle. That was a very grievous thing and sinful thing, and we talked about that a lot when we were going over those scriptures. But if you'll remember and notice that when the ark was in the land of the Philistines actually at first showed some degree of respect towards the ark when they heard it had come into the camp of Israel. They responded with fear. And then they brought the ark into their temple of Dagon and set it before Dagon, but immediately Dagon fell before it, and not long after the plagues began. But we do not read of these wicked people, these idolaters, the Philistines, we do not read that they dared to open up the ark. So while the ark was in the land of its enemy, in the land of the Philistines, they showed respect and fear of God, of the God of Israel, where they did not open up the ark. But here we find it is returned to Israel, to the so-called people of God, and they we just can't use the words to describe how prideful and arrogant and just awful it was that they opened up the ark and they looked inside. Well, now let's think about what they did and the reason why they died. Because actually the action of opening the ark explains to us the very, if you think about it, the very illustration of lifting up the ark's lid is a full explanation of why God was so angry and why over 50,000 of these men of Beth Shemesh died. But we'll have to take a look at this in our next study.